Welcome back, folks. From is on. I'll be joined by Naomi Zeit here in just a second, but I got to give a shout out and a seal of approval, the InfoWars seal of approval, to an activist this weekend, Thomas A. Speciale II at Speciale 4VA on X. Says, after the conference on Thursday, I confronted former CIA Director Brennan directly regarding his signing of the 51 intelligence officers' memo, knowing that Hunter Biden laptop was real and not Russian disinformation. Watch his response. This only came after he was confronted on stage. We'll go to that clip first. Clip number one, John Brennan challenged by somebody. Yeah, they're not, these people are shaking in their boots. John Brennan is very worried about the indictments coming down the pipe. Let's watch.
I was at the DNI when the first ICA was released regarding cyber influence on the 2016 election. I was there. I was working in the NIM. I read it. I also was involved in setting up the principals committee meeting that took place in December that resulted in President Obama directing a more fulsome, because I understand the difference between a cyber ICA and a total whole of government ICA intelligence collection on Russian involvement or influence in the election. And I noticed immediately in the ICA, the second ICA, because I had access to the classified ICA, that there were statements in that ICA that were not supported with the sourcing that was associated to the ICA, specifically that that Putin had directed the action and that Putin had that the Russians were actively trying to support President Trump instead of just chaos.
Your question.
My question. There was an email that went around from General Clapper to yourself and Hayden. I'm sorry, not Hayden.
That's right.
yourself and Comey, et cetera, that basically said, we all got to get on board with this. Otherwise, it isn't going to work, basically. And I think that email puts everybody in the crosshairs. I would like to hear what your justification was for supporting the dossier that was known to be false, being used as source material in the second ICA.
I don't know who put you up to this.
Nobody put me up to this, sir. I'm here on my own.
I don't know what role you played or who you are, but it's a bunch of bullshit that you just passed on.
The emails are clear, sir.
Bullshit.
The emails are clear.
Bullshit.
The emails are clear.
Next.
The second question.
No, next. I think we're going
to go. Is the,
go. Is next.
The, look, next.
Look.
Next.
You can.
Next. Next.
Look, we can talk about it.
No way.
Talk about it in the reception.
It was Russian disinformation.
No, we didn't say that.
No, get your facts straight.
You said it was likely Russian disinformation.
No, we did not. We said,
yes, you did.
No.
In that memo,
it says that.
And I know I'm going to
get uninvited.
Yeah.
To the after hours.
No, he says after the after hours. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But pure panic. And this is what happens when these people are confronted with their lies that are absolutely proven beyond any doubt. I mean, they're in their own words, these emails that the guy's referencing. And that's not even getting into the Hunter Biden thing where they think they're cute. They think they're being, you know, clever, where they're like, well, we just said it has all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. We never said it was one. And it's like, you scumbag liars. But it's always, who sent you? Who are you doing this for? Yeah, we don't need, you know, motivation to tell the truth. We don't need to be paid by somebody to ask why you are not in prison with all of the treason that you committed. We don't need to be put up to this by anybody. You remember when they actually brought on Tony Bobulinski, who was telling the truth about Hunter Biden and the way Joe Biden was involved. He gives this speech where he lays out that the president of the United States, vice president at the time, was engaged in high-level corruption with a former state that's led to a war. And the first thing that the reporters, the left-wing reporters, ask is, who's paying you to do this? Who paid for your flight here? Who'd pay for your hotel room? It's like they don't even hear the insane bombshell revelations he's putting out. Because it's all, well, who's paying you to this? Who's paying you to do this? Now they say, you can talk about this in the after hours. Well, here's the after hours, clip number two.
Why would you know on the Hunter Biden? Why say that? Because I think
you misrepresented that. We never said it was disinformation. We said it was
finger to the chest
operations, which is what they do. There's a big difference between influence operations. No, you don't know that.
Yes, Comey knew.
Comey knew.
The literature said it had all the hallmarks.
Completely triggered, tries to bully the guy, tries to weasel his way out of it. We're on to you, scumbag. Go find the story at InfoWars.com. We'll be back on the other side with Naomi Zeit. Do not go anywhere, folks.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
A massive problem among our younger generations, this will not come as a surprise to you, is the feminist doctrine, because it stole our future. Do you remember when Greta Thunberg said that her future had been stolen by, what, climate change, CO2, and natural gas? That's insane. That was a pure distraction from the fact that feminist doctrine had taken our virtues, the very essence of our humanity, and that which makes us feminine, us as women, obviously. I never needed feminism. I needed direction. And I will tell you, in middle school, I was first taught the principles of feminism. I thought to myself, that sounds reasonable. Equality for all, equality for men and women. Am I oppressed as a woman? Potentially. Maybe I should side with the victims. Maybe I am a victim myself. I had never considered myself a victim in the past, but then all of a sudden, feminists told me that I was a victim. And so I fell into that trap. Not for a very long time, I will tell you. I soon figured out that feminism is actually in it to destroy my entire purpose. That I'm actually seeking something much greater in my life, and that is the truth. And you know who is someone who could have acted like a victim, who had every right to act like a victim? Erica Kirk. And yet, she chose to reject her victim mentality, and she chose to rise above anything that any of us probably have been confronted with in our entire lives. She chose to forgive the person that harmed her and her family the most, who killed her husband. I don't think 99%, I'll actually say 100% of feminists have ever expressed this kind of strength in their lives. And on the right, we often talk about how young men need guidance, they need a role model, they need to find their own strength again because feminism put them down and told them that they were basically worthless. And all that's true. But at the same time, what about the women who have been completely misled and taught things that are completely untrue? We need to give them some sort of guidance too to find the light. Because there is a reason why women are leaning increasingly more far left. And on the other hand, you have men who are starting to hate women. They don't hate women, they hate feminism. They hate what feminism did to us women. I want men and women to fall in love with each other again. Call me cheesy, call me overly romantic, call me a lunatic. I believe in true love. That is our destiny.
There you go, folks. That's Naomi Zeibt. You can follow her on X at Zeibt Naomi. She's a political commentator currently seeking asylum in the U.S. from German political persecution for her support of the AfD. Naomi is on a mission to revive open debate and critical thinking in an age of echo chambers and censorship, raising topics not for panic, but to get people to think. And obviously, from feminism to climate change to free speech, you're on the wrong side of everything, Naomi, if you wanted an easy life.
Yeah, that's true.
You've made things difficult for yourself by telling the truth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on. I was on your show just very recently.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually in studio. It's incredible. I'm a big fan of the entire show. I appreciate that you actually pulled up this clip about me talking about feminism, which is not something that I'm usually confronted with, but I think it's very important because we don't talk enough about the divide between men and women these days because women are leaning increasingly far left,
yeah,
whereas men are becoming more Republican, more towards the right. And this is a massive problem in society, obviously, because how are people dating anymore? It has become a big problem. Many men pretend to be liberal just to date women, and the other way around, women are just completely not accepting of any different opinions from men because they feel oppressed instantly. And I'll be so honest, in middle school, I mentioned it in the video, I saw the speech that Emma Watson gave about her coming out as a feminist, and I thought, oh, wow, that's so moving. Maybe I am oppressed.
Right.
Yeah, and then it was not until high school, that's when I first started questioning it and discovered basically that's all nonsense. This kind of rhetoric is trying to keep me down. Because the thing is, I was very much I was into STEM, I was into science, and so I thought, okay, so this is empowering me as a girl who likes science. But I realized at some point, this is no longer about a meritocracy. This has nothing to do with meritocracy or empowering and uplifting women. It's stealing our future.
Yeah, and it sort of ties into everything, right? I mean, it's just there's a similar sort of spirit that motivates the feminist cause and the climate change cause and the transgender cause. And it's this desire to sort of upend the way things were and to promise something better. But the thing that's supposed to be better is never fulfilled. And in reality, you're just tearing down the traditions that, you know, made us strong in the first place. So I think it's all sort of one conspiracy, really, against the Western world, as far as I see it. And especially when you're talking about Germany, I mean, I don't know, which has hit Germany harder, feminism or climate change?
We've been hit by everything. I think the climate change agenda was very big because Greta Thunberg was a very famous figure, and I think maybe even more so in Europe than in America,
right?
Because she's from Sweden. And so I became known as the anti-Greta Thunberg in 2019, 2020. So that's initially how I became, I would say, more infamous than famous, especially in the media. They didn't like it very much. I think they wanted to paint me as some sort of anti-Christ in opposition to Greta Thunberg. But the thing is, I didn't realize myself that it was such a controversial belief, and that soon after I would be declared far-right extremist, because truly, like in middle and high school, I was very autistic. I didn't do anything with guys. I didn't go on any parties, and not because I felt better than them, just because I was constantly into science. I did all the science competitions, had straight A's, left school with straight A's. And so everybody told me, oh, you're going to be something big. You'll go to university, to college, and go to Harvard, apply to Cambridge, Oxford. I actually went to the Cambridge interview because I then decided maybe I'll study law. And eventually it dawned on me that this was still in the system that I wanted to escape. I felt so stuck in this education system, public education. And as soon as I started getting into politics, I became more familiar with libertarian philosophy and being pro-freedom. And that's actually what I actually wanted to do all this time. I wanted to go against the grain. I wanted to stand up for myself, for my freedom. And I did not expect to be met with so many repercussions, so much adversity for my political opinions and for standing up for my free speech. Yeah.
Well, and isn't that the way it always kind of goes? Is they're preying on something that is good in you, right? I think we all have some degree of what you just expressed. Like, I want to go against the grain. I want to stand up for myself. I want to fight back against the power. And so they go, oh, you do? Well, feminism will work for you. You know, racial, you know, controversy will work for you. And I feel like we all go through that a little bit. I know I did, where you know, you start learning about this stuff and you go, yeah, this isn't right. And this is wrong. And, you know, this is bad. But then you sort of eventually get to a point where you go, well, wait a second. This is going in the opposite direction as I thought. I thought that, I don't know, voting for Barack Obama was like the last thing we'd have to do when it came to race. Like, once we did that, it would be like, you know, black president, racism solved, we can move on. And yet it only becomes an engine of more problems. So what did it take for you to like break through the programming? Like when you first start learning about feminism and thinking, oh yeah, this is empowering, this is good. What is it that gets you through that, beyond that, to where you learn to actually support things that are actually bringing freedom, actually good for women, things like that? How do you break through the programming?
Yeah, my political journey started in 2015 with the migration crisis in Germany,
right?
When Angela Merkel opened the borders. And I was one of the very first people who became skeptical, because I said, I mean, it's a bit crazy to just open the borders and then expect it's very harmful to the people of Germany. And I think a government has the duty to protect its citizens first before anything else. And you cannot just let these people in that are coming from completely culturally incompatible countries and cultures with smuggling in actual Islamists, actual terrorists, committing all these crimes against especially our women. We saw the Sylvester New Year's Eve night in 2016. That's when a lot of Germans, a lot of German women were raped in one single night. And that's one of the dark marks of Angela Merkel's legacy, which she is still being confronted with to this day. But for some reason, it just continued. It just continued for many years. And then I started to see more people who agreed with me. And suddenly I was in the far right camp. And I didn't see it coming because I was not political in school at all. I didn't even know the main difference between left and right, to be honest. I knew that Hitler is right-wing, but that's all I knew about it. And the actual distinction between political philosophies, we don't even have the political compass in Germany. So you just know left, right, don't be right, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really so much more complicated than that. And yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, it never made any sense, but okay, just taking them on the word, they go, hey, look, you know, we've got this pension program, it's falling apart, we need these extra workers. Well, when all the workers come in and go on welfare and you end up having to raise the retirement age, it's like, okay, experiment over, this didn't work, it's time to send them back. So it's like, again, you should be able to see what's happening just from the outset and go, this doesn't make any sense and we shouldn't be doing this. But if you believe their arguments, at a certain point, you go, this is having a detrimental effect to the problem you think that you're solving, but it never seems to matter. Because obviously there's the actual reason that they're bringing it in, which is, I think, just trying to destroy Europe outright. I mean, what do you think the end goal of all of this is? Do you think these are people that are just well-meaning but stupid? They think they're going to help the pension program and it didn't work out and they're too dumb to figure that out? Or do you think there is a deliberate agenda behind all of this?
There is 100% an agenda behind it. At this point, it would be ridiculous to deny it. And I know it's very unpopular to say the great replacement is taking place, but I mean, just look at the numbers. You just have to compare the statistics. The birth rates of Western civilization are declining. When people say that whites are the majority and we're dominating white supremacy, no, whites are in the minority, globally speaking. It's actually ridiculous how few white people exist in the world. I think it's like around 10%, maybe. These people are going extinct. We are going extinct. Me, as a blonde, blue-eyed German, that's very rare. And I'm not saying that it's superior to anything. I just think it's worth preserving, just like everything else. But our government has a duty, in my opinion, to protect our original native people. Don't we say that about the Native Americans, that they need to be protected? Why is it so controversial when it comes to Germans?
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, it's ridiculous that you have to make the argument. Like, to be expected to present a case for why your people shouldn't be eradicated, it's absurd to be put in this position.
And why do I need to repent for crimes I never committed in my life? Yeah, neither did my grandparents, by the way, just to make it very clear. My grandparents, actually. My grandpa was a professor for mathematics, and he was in America for a longer time. And he taught at Princeton and Berkeley University. So yeah, he was in America for a while. My grandma actually got married to him in America, and then my mom was born in America. And I didn't actually quite figure this all out. So it's nice to know now that I'm in America, kind of like a very full circle moment. But I did not grow up with American culture at all. I didn't know anything about our family history of being a little bit inspired by America, I think.
Well, that's very interesting. But of course, it doesn't protect you from the claims, right? I mean, it's the same thing with that. You know, we have grandfathers who died fighting the Nazis. It doesn't stop us from being called Nazis for believing the same thing that our grandfathers believed. I mean, the whole thing is absurd and inverted. And, we can do this now. I don't know if we can go to these videos because these are all from just this weekend. And I'm sorry, this is going to be a depressing segment. This depresses me, but I want to go through just very quickly we'll do a little tour of Europe because these are all different countries. So we'll just go through these real quick. We'll start at clip 5 here. This is Britain in 2025. And we can go to clip 5 now. Here's Britain. Here's a guy with a shovel fighting the police. And I think the cops don't even stop him. I think it's actually a random bystander that comes up and puts this guy down. Okay, so if you're in UK, don't be surprised if you get a shovel to the face for walking in the streets, and you might have to do the cops' jobs for them because, well, they're all kind of pudgy ladies, not ready to deal with the guy. So there's the other guy. Okay, so that's the UK. But let's see how Belgium is. Let's go to clip six in Belgium. This was a guy who was walking down the street in Belgium. We can roll it here. You took it down, guys. There he is, your friendly neighborhood immigrant here with wielding a machete. And in this case, the Belgian man looked at him wrong. He apparently looked at him wrong, so the machete comes out and the threats come out. All right, so UK and Belgium, not great. Let's go to clip eight here. Vienna, the world city of Vienna. Lovely walk around a Viennese park here. It looks like a homeless camp for gypsies. So that's Vienna. All right, so Belgium, UK, Austria, not looking good. What about France? What about Paris, France? Clip number nine here. Here's Paris, France, where a bunch of Muslims are rioting and attacking people and breaking people's windshields, and God only knows what this is about. We don't know if there's even a reason for this. Something. They're mad at something. Hordes of migrants stormed down the street, vandalizing car shops and restaurants while shouting Allah Akbar. And we could keep going. I mean, we could keep going. It's every country in Europe now looks like this. And it's like, how do people see this and not realize it? And again, I could show more videos. I mean, we can go to clip seven here. There's another, you know, shot of London. Just, you know, not even people in this one, just pure trash and filth and grime. And then we can finish out with clip 10 here, because this is the actual migrant flow. And every one of these dots represents 25 people. So, like, what is it about Europe that people can't see this? How, what makes them blind to this, Naomi, that you go to every single city, country in Europe, in the West, and it looks like a bazaar in Mozambique? It's crazy. People don't see how this is utterly changing Europe forever.
It's media brainwashing. It's gaslighting, gaslighting, gaslighting. I have people in my comments telling me, oh, you're just putting on a show. You're not running away from anything. There's nothing going on. You're just doing this to be this poster girl for the right. That's what I've been called for years. Even though I'm under surveillance by intelligence, I received death threats by Antifa to my home address. I got phone calls because my address, my number, everything was public, and basically still is. That's still the same location, and it's been a few horrifying years. It took a toll on my health, for sure. It was very difficult. I had to step out of the spotlight for many years, and it was not fun. I never made any money with it for years. I struggled, barely survived what was going on, and it's this year, and maybe since 2024 that I actually managed to fight for myself and to get out of the mere survival state and actually get to a point where I know confidently that I can be optimistic for the first time. And yeah, it's we have the state media, especially in Germany, where we pay taxes for the media. So it's very hard to establish any sort of competition. I work with a leading German alternative media now, which is Deutschlandkurier. And the chief editor, he actually got sentenced to 7 months on probation for posting a meme of the former interior minister holding up a sign saying, "I hate free speech." So that's just peak irony. So I stand in solidarity with them. And I think it's very important that we establish a movement of alternative media in Germany that can actually confront and be a counterforce against the established media. That's why when Elon Musk said, "We are the media," or "You are the media now," that's crucial for us. It's extremely important that we replace the establishment media.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just to emphasize what you mean about this, this was a conference about free speech. I knew things were bad in the UK, but didn't realize it was blowing China out of the water. So this is countries with the most arrests for online comments. Okay, out of all countries, the United Kingdom tops the chart with 12,183. Next up is Belarus, which you would kind of expect, but third on the list is Germany, with over 3,500 arrests, coming above China. And then you have Turkey, Russia, Poland. But I mean, most of these countries, or at least half of them, are European countries. Even United States has arrested 50 people. But, you know, Germany beats out China. And, you know, how many more times the population of Germany is China, and yet Germany still arrests more people. So, I mean, this is real tyranny, and yet they call themselves democracies.
Wait, but I thought Russia was the tyranny.
You would think.
They lied to us.
You would think. They arrested around 400 people a year for free speech. 400 versus Germany's 3,500. And there's the meme that got 7 months of not jail, but he was on parole or whatever for a little while. Yeah, white people are endangered, less than 7% of the population. So again, how is Germany beating out China in terms of arresting people for speech?
Because it's a very concealed form of tyranny in Germany, because they keep pretending that we're a free Western society, and that still is true to this day. It's just the image that they have maintained for themselves, but it's not true. It's all a lie. And in Germany, it's we have the history of East Germany, socialism, of course, where we had the Stasi secret police, and it's something like one out of every five people was spied on by the Stasi or was even a Stasi agent. That's how it was. So you couldn't trust anyone. You couldn't trust your own family. And nowadays, why do you think it is mostly East Germans who vote for the AfD? Because they know what it's like. They know socialism and they want to escape that same fate. Some of them even say it's even worse today because they are gaslighting us and they are feeding us this lie that it's not as bad as you think it is. But as soon as you say something that goes against the establishment, you will just be silenced. You'll be put in jail. You'll be put under surveillance. And then they keep gaslighting you. It's just those are the far-right people. They deserve it. Those are the extremists.
Ah, it is insane. And yeah, you know, we tend to sort of, as Americans, sort of, you know, laugh at the idea of like, oh, the European law enforcement, the Brits don't even carry guns. Their police don't even carry guns. But like, there's a weird thing in Europe where it's like the police are kind of like, kind of weak and not too intimidating like American cops are. But then like when you cross a threshold, they're like militaristic. They come in, they rip you out of your home, they send you to jail and don't even tell you why. Like it can actually be brutal. And in a lot of ways it is like a police state there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the media defamation is another big problem, in my opinion. It's, I've experienced it personally. So you just pulled up an article that was written by The Spiegel about me. I love how they ended the article with whether or not she will actually receive asylum is actually very questionable. That was the quote. So that's pretty funny. Let's just prove them wrong. That's my goal now. But I also see mostly the legacy media that don't like me. They use photos of me from a time when I was extremely sick. So I think that's very intentional. I mean, I don't mind as much because I look back at those times and I know how much I struggled, how difficult it was. I had very bad gastrointestinal problems and I struggled with it for many years. I ended up in hospital at an extremely low weight. I basically died and came back to life. That's how bad it was. I was in the ICU for 2 weeks, in hospital for 8 weeks in total. I had nurses who knew who I was and didn't agree with me at all. That was very difficult because imagine you're in a state where you're just 100% reliant on everybody else taking care of you, hooked to cables, and they don't like you. And then I had a doctor who said to my face, you're going to die anyway. I thought to myself, but what if I don't? And so I survived. And then I had a head physician, the one guy, fortunately he was my head physician, and he said to me, you have a mission, you need to survive. He listened to one of my podcasts, totally coincidentally, he said, I actually agree with you. And funnily enough, he's from Jerusalem, he's an immigrant himself. Very interesting, and I still keep in touch with him today. He saved my life in a way. Yes.
Wow, I did not know that aspect of the story. And that's a real threat. In fact, I've seen another article of doctors saying, I will not treat AfD supporters and like refusing to treat them when they're like the only doctor in the village. So, man, people, and they think that you're the extreme one. They would, you know, let you die, but they're going to call you the extremist. It's absolutely absurd. We'll get more into this on the other side. I do want to remind people, we are not, immune from this in America. We are having our free speech limited and constricted right now. And so it's more important now than ever that you go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. Support us. Keep InfoWars on the air. Keep Alex Jones and myself on the air. Get yourself a fantastic supplement and shop easy knowing that you are really supporting an outlet that truly believes in free speech and is fighting for it with everything we've got. More with Naomi Zeipt on the other side. Follow her on X at Zeipt Naomi. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
My fellow Info Warriors, we are having right now in late November into early December the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, if the bad guys are about to take it over, why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember, last year, when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But, of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And, of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money, they want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. It works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Naomi Zeibt. You can follow her on X at Zeibt Naomi, and that's S-E-I-B-T, Naomi, S-E-I-B-T. We were just talking about Germany in general, and one thing you pointed out to me that I didn't realize was that because AFD has been declared a far-right extremist organization, that actually now severely limits their ability to actually be involved in certain things. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the idea behind it is that because they are far-right extremists, for example, you couldn't possibly have an AFD police officer. And that's just going to turn our country into a very one-sided police state where you have only left-wing police officers that can then be used as soldiers against AfD members, AfD voters, AfD supporters. That's why they're going around and conducting all these house raids at people's homes where they just posted something that didn't align with the establishment's views, for example.
Right.
It's going to be very dangerous. And then also in doctors' positions, psychologists, for example, you're not allowed to have AfD members as psychologists anymore. But even worse, in my opinion, my best friend, she's not political at all. I've never mentioned her name or anything. It's very anonymous, our friendship between each other, but she's my best friend in Germany, and she's amazing, and she's studying psychology, currently in her master's, about to finish. And she says to me all the time that even the professors at her university are talking about, should we even treat AfD patients?
Wow.
We should reject them. They are not worthy of being treated by psychologists, by any doctors.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of course, they'll pathologize your normal beliefs, right?
Correct.
And say, hey, I want Germany to be Germany. That'll be pathologized into some sort of condition that you have to be medicated for. And so, man, I can think of just so many ways that this is chilling, right? You declare the AfD far-right extremists. Now you can spy on them, which even if you're not using that to like actually throw people in prison, it'll be very useful information for the other, you know, political parties. If they can get their hands on what AfD is planning and what they're trying to do, it's just going to really hamper them that way. And as much as it's going to, you know, mean that AfD voters aren't going to be hired as police, it also means that anybody who wants to be a police officer or wants to be a doctor is not going to vote for AfD.
Yep.
Because it'll interfere with their ambition. So just massive chilling effect by declaring AfD just because they're popular. And really that seems to be the reason, right? I mean, they come up with the things that AfD says that they claim are far right, but the more popular AfD gets, the more and more calls for it to be banned, the more and more calls for it to be declared a terrorist organization come about, which is obviously just in flagrant violation of their very idea of democracy, that the more people support this party, the more they get crushed by the state. And it's just completely bonkers. It's like hard to even wrap your mind around.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it has gotten increasingly worse, where people have been so indoctrinated that they no longer see how we have progressed from the past. Just in the early 2000s, people were way more traditional, way more conservative in Germany. And that just flipped after a while. For example, okay, we just saw Friedrich Merz here on screen. He and Angela Merkel, they said around 2009, multiculturalism has failed. There are many clips of these two saying these kinds of things in the entire CDU party. The CDU was the Republican Party in Germany, essentially. Right. Yeah, and the SPD was the opposition, was basically more like the Democrats. And now they are both the same. We have a two-party system now where the AfD is the opposition, and then everybody else is the left.
And that's happened in pretty much every European country I can think of. France, Germany, obviously, it just happened in the Netherlands. It's happened in the UK, where when the far right, as they put it, the far right, just very simple traditional right wing, raises in power, the center left and the far left join together to stop them. And it happens over and over and over again. Why is it, like, if Germany, half of Germany was subjected to this brutal totalitarianism by the communists, I can understand why Germany would be hypersensitive about Nazism and far right wing. Why isn't the same thing applied to the left? I mean, like you said, a lot of people in Germany were under the control of the Stasi or, you know, being brutalized by the communists. Why is the same knee-jerk reaction not applied to the left as it is to the right?
That's a very good question. Angela Merkel was born in the West, but everybody knows that she lived in the East her entire life. Yes, that's because her father was a very proud socialist. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is actually 100% true. And he moved with her when she was just a toddler to the East because he preferred the East. He preferred socialism. But why? Because some animals are more equal than others, and he was more equal. And he got all the privileges, and so did she. She was studying physics, and she got the privilege to travel to the West whenever she wanted to. And she basically never had to fear anything in the East. She was one of the high animals, basically. Mm. And her father wanted her to get into politics. So why did she choose the Conservative Party? That's very strange, even though he supported her entire political career. And then there have been, correct, you see the here on screen, she says she has no secrets in her communist past. But she has also said on multiple occasions, it's possible that she may just misremembering some things. If she gets confronted with a statement that she made of endorsing socialists, maybe she's just not remembering that. Maybe she's just forgotten it. But it gets worse because there have been many rumors about her potentially having been a Stasi agent, which just just statistically speaking, it is not unlikely that a lot of people were Stasi agents. And it, I mean, especially as somebody who had so many privileges. And it gets much worse because she originally in the East, just before the reunion, the German alliance was built, which was then forming a coalition or morphing together with the CDU from the West. And she was a member of this German alliance. And the co-founder of the German alliance was Wolfgang Schnur. He was later exposed as a Stasi agent. But if you look up his name in a Spiegel article with Angela Merkel, you will find that he is known as the man who made Angela Merkel famous. Mm. And he was so famous as a Stasi agent, too, that he received medals for his work because he prevented protests. And he was horrific. He was a tyrant. And he was one of Angela Merkel's closest buddies who made her famous. He was, I believe, her press secretary, and he was good friends with her father. Wow. So there are many, many rumors about whether or not she was a Stasi agent. So why don't we find out? Why don't we find out? There was actually an independent man who went to the German government and requested from the German court that they release her Stasi files. She said, of course, no, I don't want that. And they could potentially, they would have the authority to release them anyway, even if she denies it, even if she doesn't want to. But they said, and this is an actual quote, which you can look up if you want to, that they think it would not be beneficial for the welfare of the German government if they release Angela Merkel's Stasi files. That's odd. Why don't we want to stir up the rumors? Why? Is that a problem? If she has something to hide, maybe. And yeah, when she was in office, obviously she had full access to the Stasi files, so I don't know if she burnt them. But we do know that somebody has them, in Russia, of course, but also the CIA. They have everything. They have the names. They know everything.
Well, and it you know, goes to show, obviously, you don't have, you know, the ability to hide what you're doing from the government, but the government can seal files forever, even when they're pertinent and actually matter and have to do with somebody leading your country. But it's crazy to me that in 2009, they were saying multiculturalism has failed. As you point out, I mean, the migrant crisis really kicked off into high gear in like 2015. But 6 years before, they're already saying, OK, this has failed. Why change in 2009 from saying multiculturalism has failed to being the wrecker of Germany and opening up the gates in 2015? Why change that dramatically?
Yeah, I did some research on the timeline when she said this famous statement, multiculturalism has failed. And during that time, precisely after that speech, I think it was in 2010, there is an article by the Open Societies Foundation, Soros, obviously, where they claimed that this was Nazi rhetoric, and they heavily criticized her for saying that. And suddenly she flipped. Maybe this has something to do with each other.
It very well could. And of course, I always, it's kind of half a joke, but I always point out that the Fukushima nuclear reactor, the catastrophe of as when it melted down and poisoned the whole ocean, was during an election in which Angela Merkel was the anti-nuclear power candidate. And so in a weird way, because there was this meltdown of a nuclear reactor in Japan, Europe got flooded with migrants. It's bizarre, but that's actually the way it worked out. And of course, again, that ties into the climate change agenda and, you know, decommissioning all these nuclear power plants, which also is Germany's doing. I mean, as you look at Germany, what even is the future of Germany? They're shutting down their industry. They're shutting down their ability to, you know, produce energy in any fashion. It seems like they're just committing civilizational suicide on purpose. Like, what even is there a positive vision for Germany in the future?
The future of Germany is in our hands. This is why I'm applying for asylum in America, not to escape. If I wanted to escape, then I would have just applied for a journalism visa or a green card instantly. No, I'm actually seeking protection from the United States of America because I want to expose what's going on and to free Germany, to help Germany and to help my German friends. I want a better future for my sister. I have a little sister whom I love and so much, and I just want her to have a safe future, to have a bright future where she actually feels like she can express herself, where she can pursue any goal that she wants to. She's not even political. I never wanted her to be affected by any of what I'm doing, and I'm sure it has been difficult for her because we went to the same school. She's 5 years younger than me, so she had to go to school after me, and everybody already knew about me, and there were many teachers who clearly did not like what I was doing. But yeah, I'm very proud of her for going her way now. And I want to fight for Germany so that she has a good future, so that she can have children in Germany. I'm hoping the same for all the future children of Germany, because Greta Thunberg said, we stole her future.
Right.
No, you stole all these girls' futures, and boys too, of course. Many men especially are the most hated species of people in the world. White men. I just demonized left, right, and center. That's why men are going more right wing now, because they have been failed by our system horribly, and now women are under attack by the caliphate in Europe. Yeah, it's horrible to see, and it's very unfortunate that feminism promoted all of this and has feminized our society. Because now white men no longer protect us. Because why would they? Because they are constantly demonized as far right if they do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they literally can't. I mean, you know, the number of stories where a white guy steps up to defend and he's the one that gets arrested because he, you know, yelled a bad word. In fact, I have a video, but it's not even a white guy. It's a Sikh guy, but he's being attacked by Pakistanis and the cops arrest him. It's in the UK. And that happens over and over. So is the same thing happening in Europe? Because in America, it seems like men are becoming slightly more right wing, not overly so, but certainly in the younger generations, they seem to be a lot more hardcore in their right wing beliefs, while the women seem to be going pretty far to the left. Is the same thing happening in Germany? I know the women are going left in Germany. Are the men going right?
100%. I think I'm not quite sure about the statistic, but I think I saw in the graph that it's even more extreme in Germany.
Okay.
The divide between left and right for women and men. It's very true that a lot of young men especially are standing up for the right. And the AfD is the most popular party in every demographic under 60, I believe. Wow. It's mostly the boomers that still vote for the CDU party because they grew up thinking that it's a conservative party. Now that it's changed so much, they just don't want to deal with being called far right, which is kind of understandable. But also, we need you guys to be more courageous and actually understand what's going on. Women, they mostly vote for the left, as in Die Linke, the left party, which is an extension, an actual extension of the former SED, the former Socialist Party. Wow. The senior member of the left party, I think his name is Gürges. He was very well known in the SED, in the Socialist Party. So these are open communists, open socialists. And they are very violent, too. They promote violence. Just recently, they made a post with Alice Weidel's face, and then there's a target on her face to insinuate that she should be killed. But for some reason, they're not under surveillance. That's not a problem. Why? Something is off.
Yeah, something's seriously off. And talk a little bit more about that, because you have applied for asylum. I know you met with Anna Paulina Luna. Actually, last time we talked, you were about to meet with her. So that meeting happened, right? How did that go, and what did you learn about that?
It was incredible. I did not expect it to go so fast, because she reached out to me basically just after I announced it. She was coincidentally at the same time inviting AfD members to her office, which I had nothing to do with in this case. Then she messaged me, come to my office tomorrow. Bring all the evidence. It will help you. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I just thought, okay, I'll bring everything. I'll bring articles. I'll bring the surveillance documents that I got from intelligence. I'll show everything just so that she can form an opinion. And she said, I'm going to help you fast track this. And please also give me the names and the stories of as many Germans as possible. Tell me who else is being persecuted and why. Even if they don't want to seek asylum, because there are a lot of brave Germans who want to stay in Germany and fight there. I'm just doing this here so that I can actually break the Overton window completely and speak about things that I would probably go behind bars for in Germany, criticizing politicians mostly. She wants to hear more about these stories and bring as many Germans who are being politically persecuted to America as possible. And then in December, there's going to be an event, a meeting, where she wants to invite Alice Weidel and some other AfD members, maybe the European Parliament member Peter Bistron. I suggested him to her. He had his house raided 27 times at this point. And I spoke to him on the phone recently, and I said, wait, the last time I read about it, that was like 1 month ago. I thought it was 22. And he said, yeah, that's already a few weeks ago.
German police have raided his house like 5 times in a single month.
Oh, yeah, because they constantly accuse him of being funded by Russia, which is funny because the original claim came from Czech intelligence. He himself is Czech ethnically, and he escaped from socialism there and his family, and so he's a very proud patriot for Germany now. But he has much support over there too, and so Czech intelligence says that they have a leaked audio recording of him on the phone with Russia, where he's accepting a lot of money from them. So where is this audio recording is the question.
Right.
And he said publicly, please release it. I want the truth out there. Release the audio recording. But they didn't. They never did. They right. never gave it to the media. They never gave it to the Czech government even. Nobody has ever heard this audio recording. And so since then, they keep persecuting him. They did this entire smear campaign. It was a massive defamation campaign just before the EU elections.
Wow.
That's why. And then very interesting to know also how the media funding works. Of course, we have the state media, but then we also have all the NGO-funded media. And there's this big NGO complex called OCCRP that gets money from USAID, in the past. And a lot of it comes from Soros directly. And this OCCRP network is also connected to the German Spiegel, which is probably the most far left, but very mainstream, very big media outlet. And they all did this massive defamation campaign against this AfD candidate in Europe. And still to this day, no evidence, not a piece of evidence. Keep raiding his house. You would imagine that at this point, they should probably find something. And I said to him on the phone, maybe just leave the door open.
Yeah.
Show them the way while you're at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, when you're raiding somebody's house five times in a month, you're not actually looking for anything. You're just trying to keep them unbalanced. You're trying to, you know, keep them paranoid. And it's literally just persecution at that point.
Yeah.
That's insane. 27 times the same guy. So when you're seeking asylum, is it more that activity from the state, the abuse that's coming from the state? Or is it the Antifa, the violence that's happening there that happens with the sort of, you know, the state turning a blind eye to it, maybe not actively participating. Maybe they are actively participating. Is it the far left on the ground in Germany, or is it the state in Germany that poses more of a threat to you?
It's 100% the state.
Okay.
Because they are using Antifa as their soldiers against me. These people from Antifa, they see me and they see a monster, but that's not because they are born to hate me. That's because of the media brainwashing, because of the state. Of course, the threat to be killed is more imminent. But I am here to debunk what's actually going on behind the scenes. And these Antifa people, they wouldn't even think this way if it wasn't for the government, if they didn't demonize me this much, if they didn't try to ban the AfD party. Those are the actual repercussions for my country. And I care way more about my country and the future of my country than anything else.
Yeah. And it's the same thing here where Antifa acts the way it does because it knows they're not going to get in trouble. They know they're not going to get in trouble. So, you know, why shouldn't they, you know, throw rocks at the cops? It's just, you know, significantly worse in Germany. So what happened after the meeting with Anna Polina? I mean, like how far along is your asylum request?
I don't know what's going on.
You should have just crossed the border, 4 years ago. That would have been, you could have just gotten the app and pressed asylum and you'd be here collecting checks already.
Maybe I'm too white for that. I'm not sure.
But probably so.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes now. So I've applied for asylum formally and this has all gone out. And now Anna Polina Luna is requesting all the files from USCIS to basically then be able to fast track the process and discuss it with other members. So, she asked me to send her more information, everything that I got, and we will see. She even said to myself, I want to help you to apply for a green card too. And that's incredible treatment. And I did not ask anyone for help. I did not beg that the US government would help me. I didn't go to Elon Musk behind the scenes and tell him, please, can you please do something behind the scenes? Because I think I have a legitimate case. And I
right.
think my case will be taken as it is. And that's all I need.
Yeah. And that should be all you need. Because again, like we were talking about last time, we interviewed you last week, the asylum program has been abused, but on the face, America should be a safe harbor for people like yourself that are under threat by your own government and your own people. Why shouldn't we be somewhere where you can come and actually speak to the people back home in their own language? Because I think that's an issue too. Is America missing a lot of stuff from Germany because, you know, we don't speak their language? I feel like that's the case, but I don't know.
That's 100% the case, and that's the reason why they were so scared of me. I was the very first and probably the only voice in German who actually spoke in English then, to the international community. But I do both. I still communicate a lot with German media and with American media too, because I want to be that bridge between Germany and America. Nobody else has done it. We only have mainstream media. We have like Guardian and Washington Post, and they every now and then report about Germany. But you're not going to have an actual direct source from Germany other than the NGO and state-funded media
right.
that give you anything of relevance, anything that is as unbiased as possible, or at the very least, not completely government or just leftist-funded and promoted. Yeah.
Well, I know Americans can be a little bit solipsistic at times. We sort of care only about ourselves a lot, but I know everybody on the right wing cares a heck of a lot about what's going on in Europe and wants to help Europe reclaim its birthright and not be, you know, swamped and overwhelmed by these people that clearly hate Europe, like so many of the migrants obviously do, and brag about how they're taking it over. You know, we don't want to see that. And I think there's a lot of people in America that you're not going to have to twist their arm to want to help you. So are you planning on, what's your plan if you get asylum? If you achieve asylum, you're here in America, what's your plan then? Are you going to just start trying to talk to people in Germany to get them to come over here? Or like what's the next step once you achieve asylum?
No, I want to actually save or help free, not just Germany, but Europe. And I'm connecting with a lot of other people. We got the incredible Eva Vladingerbroek from the Netherlands, for example. I've been connecting with her. There are lots of others like Martin Zellner from Austria. He's the thought leader in Austria, essentially. And we're all talking to each other because we actually have a common goal to help save Europe, to expose what's going on. Then I'm working with the German alternative media, Deutschlandkurier now, and I'm very proud to be a member and a representative for them, because I originally thought, okay, I'll stay completely independent, just be myself, yes. But at the same time, we need a movement in Germany, and we need people who come together, who connect together. They have great connections within the AfD and with a lot of people. They are close to the people, even while I'm in America. And so it's good for me to know that there's an entire movement going on in Germany that I am somehow connected to, too. And so we can influence each other. We can talk to each other. And at the same time, I also want to make it clear, I'm not planning on going into the AfD and never did. I knew that from the very beginning, because I'm just mostly identify myself as a libertarian or libertarian conservative. And I want to be independent. I want people to be able to trust me that I'm never taking any money from the AfD. And that's just 100% the case. And I feel very, very honest about it.
Well, good. So how can people support you here? We have about a minute left. Obviously, they can follow you at Zipe Naomi on X. How else can people support you?
That's basically it. I know that I would be banned from everything else, and I'm a proud supporter of Elon Musk's X company and X platform. So yeah, 100% X.
So there you go. Follow her at Zipe Naomi, and that's S-E-I-B-T Naomi. And we look forward to you achieving asylum here. We hope that you're granted that. I think you absolutely deserve it. And working not just to expose what's happening in Germany, but really change it. Thanks so much for being on with us today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely my pleasure. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to do a quick scene change. Ian Carroll, Ian Wynn are going to join me on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Follow Naomi on X at Zipe Naomi, and make sure to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let me know who sent you. And we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Third hour begins in 90 seconds.
We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy, literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Can I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it, it's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No, you hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. They're the biggest sell ever at thealexjonesstore.com. buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally, it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed. Stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away. Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt, and this methylene blue really rocks.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.